You see, we can be obeying the Lord and actually be fearing many things, and we will fail. And notice, Isaac's sin will surely find him out. It's a blessing, brothers and sisters, to have your sin found out. It's a blessing. I remember one of my boys saying, "How come I always get in contact?" It's a blessing.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. You know, Greg, today we'll see just how much the Father rubs off on the Son.
Indeed we will, Dave. As in Abraham and Isaac, like his father Abraham, Isaac had the same problem of lapsing from faith into fear, resulting in sin that led to trouble. Now let's find out what happens as we continue our study in Genesis chapter 26.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now let's join Greg for today's message.
Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah shares in this passage the reality of who is who and how they are in relationship to God. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, this is God speaking through his word, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. If you put your reliance in yourself or others on a continual habitual basis, you are cursed. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. That's relying on oneself, whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see prosperity when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. But look at verse 7, the contrast. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. A lot of people talk about the Lord, they believe his promises, but they don't believe in him. Trust in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought. Interesting analogy there. Nor cease to yield fruit. We need to trust the Lord. Isaac was tempted not to trust the Lord, and the Lord intervened. Other passages, Proverbs chapter 3. This is a wonderful passage. Turn there, Proverbs chapter 3. Most of you know this. Or on the third day of the month, you read it, right? Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's a complete reliance on the Lord. All your heart, not part of it, all your heart. You've got to let go of your pride. You've got to let go. You've got to humble yourself. And do not lean on your understanding. Don't even just lean on it. Don't even put any weight on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. I'm going to read some Psalms now. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some boast in chariots, some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. When it comes down to it, are you actually trusting the Lord or leaning on man or your own wisdom? Psalm 33, verse 16. Actually, turn there. I hear the pages ruffling. Go ahead and turn there. We see this over and over again in Scripture, how God takes the smallest things, and when those who are the smallest trust him, that he delivers them in their situations according to his will. Psalm 33, verse 16, the king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in what? Famine. Interesting. We're looking at famine in our chapter, aren't we? Those things that have to do with the very core of even staying alive physically. To keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let thy loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in thee. It's an interesting statement. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. That would be leaders. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. We are tempted, brothers and sisters, on a daily basis to have our hearts effectively turned away from the Lord and to trust in our own wisdom, our own understanding, our own ways, rather than to trust the Lord in the context of his word, rightly divided and understood. We need to learn. And here the Lord intervenes with his word, and maybe he's intervening with you today. And he does the same with us, all of us. Again, notice what the Lord says back in Genesis 26, verse 2. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land. Why, I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. The Lord of the universe says, I will be with you. I'll be with you. The Lord says the same thing to us. We see it in other scriptures. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God, he says, Isaiah 41:10. Paul shares in Philippians chapter 3, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Don't fear. Don't fear, Isaac. Obey me. Don't fear. And then notice, he shares that he's going to bless him. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. He's going to bless Isaac. Indeed, that's what a lot of this chapter is about. We're going to see God's physical blessing upon Isaac. It's a picture. It's a picture for us. Notice the explanation of that blessing, middle of verse 3. For, he's going to explain, to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. So he says he's going to give them the land as he had promised. And then he says, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, verse 4, and I will give your descendants all these lands. Another promise that he had made to Abraham, which would come through and has passed now to Isaac. I'm going to give you the land, and I'm going to give you a multitude of descendants. But then he says, and by your descendants, really it's literally descendant singular, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That tremendous promise, the gospel in seed form, in which the Lord's plan is revealed that through mankind, God would take on human flesh, that he would come and take on human flesh, that he would live the perfect life, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he would go to the cross, paying the penalty for our sins. He would die and be raised on the third day. From the curse of sin and its consequences, God would bring blessing, salvation blessing. And he would do it through the man, Christ Jesus, who is God, who took on human flesh. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He came in our place. You can look at Galatians 3 in your own time, but we see that this gospel promise relates to Jesus Christ. It relates to the one that we place our faith in. So Isaac, he's saying, don't trust your own understanding. Do not go to Egypt. Stay here. Trust me. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, and it's according to my promises that I have made to your dad, Abraham. That's what he's saying. And notice he gives him an example of personal obedience in his father's life, verse 5. Because Abraham, who was a true believer, by the way, you can't obey unless you know the Lord and trust him. Because Abraham obeyed who? Me. Our obedience is not primarily to the Word of God, although it is. It's primarily to the God of the Word in obeying his Word. Because you obeyed me, and then look, it kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Wait a second, the law hadn't even brought forth yet. God had declared his Word to Abraham, and he understood the core of that. And Abraham obeyed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And brothers and sisters, Isaac would have understood what obedience looked like, by the way. If you remember in chapter 22, when Isaac was a teenager, God told Abraham to bring his son to the mountain in which he would tell him to sacrifice his son. And Isaac went with him. He said, Father, here's the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb? His father, Abraham, said, the Lord will provide. And Isaac allowed him to bind him, obviously, and he went to the altar and he was about to kill his son, and God stopped him from heaven. Isaac would understand what obedience looks like. Abraham obeyed. And God is motivating Isaac based on Abraham's obedience in the context of faith. And it should motivate us and instruct us. So what happens? The Lord motivates him to obey. He says, I'm with you, don't fear, and I'm going to bless you. Now, Isaac was a child of the promise. And there was a covenant promise, which we read in terms of blessing, an external blessing. But we as believers in the New Testament have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. We're going to see Isaac is greatly blessed. But we're also going to see he can't enjoy it until he seeks the Lord. We are greatly blessed, and we're not going to have joy in our walk with the Lord until we seek him actively. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. If you're a true believer, we've been blessed because God chose us for adoption, Ephesians chapter 1. We've been blessed because through his Son, we have the forgiveness of sins in his blood through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. We've been blessed because we've been given his Spirit as a pledge of him completing the job. We have every blessing. We are so blessed. But yet we're going to see, like Isaac, even though we might be obeying and disobeying, when we're not seeking actively the Lord, there's conflict. There's no joy in the midst of those blessings. And I would posit to you that if you are not actively seeking the Lord in your walk with him, that there's no joy in the blessings that he has given you in terms of salvation. We're going to see that in the life of Isaac. We must trust him and obey him. Listen to his word. But we need to learn to trust him also. Look at verses 7 to 11. Actually, look at verse 6 first of all. How does Isaac respond? So Isaac lived in Gerar. He obeyed. He did obey. He didn't say, forget it, I'm going to Egypt. He obeyed. God told him not to go. I'm going to be with you. I'll bless you. And Isaac obeys. Now, Gerar is still in the land of Canaan. It's in that south area, but it's still in the land of Canaan. Now, what we need to do when we are tempted is we need to listen to God's word and we need to obey. But there's more than that. We need to trust him too. You can hear God's word and you can obey God's word, but sometimes we don't trust him. Isaac's going to need to learn to trust him. And we need to learn to trust him. Look at verse 6 again. So Isaac lived in Gerar. Notice what happens next. Verse 7. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say, my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. Uh-oh. If you've been with us in our study of Genesis, Abraham failed the same way, didn't he? There are some pitfalls to having a beautiful wife, folks, by the way. Men have eyes for beautiful women. Ungodly men do. And Isaac understands that. He understands that. And he is concerned. He's fearing that these pagans are going to take his wife and kill him. He's concerned. Abraham failed twice, once in Egypt, chapter 12. Abimelech, the king, and also once with Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, chapter 20. And Isaac is concerned for his life. Now, I'm not justifying, but we don't know what it's like probably to be concerned for your life. We have lived in relative safety. We have been very blessed. But he is concerned for his life. Not justifying it. We'll see in a minute. God doesn't justify it. So here, when Isaac is concerned for his wife, he calls her his sister. Verse 7, when the men of the place asked about his wife, this is the Philistines, he said, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. Now, lying is a horrible sin. We know that a lying tongue is an abomination to the Lord. But yet, as I look in Scripture, I see the motives for lying often at times for believers are quite different than unbelievers. Non-believers lie because it's in their nature. Non-believers lie to gain personally. It's their nature. Believers, although it's not justified, are not going to continually, habitually sin. It's not their nature. But yet believers can get caught in situations where they fear. And then the lies come out at times. And we see that here often in Scripture, that when a believer lies, it is because of fear. And the Lord, often Scripture, isn't addressing the lying at that point for the believer. He's going to address the root cause, which is fear. There's no justification for lying. And even we as parents, we should definitely address lying in our kids, but we should address the root causes and address the heart also as we raise our kids. So here, Isaac has obeyed the Lord, and he's failed. He's obeyed the Lord, but he hasn't trusted him. You see, we can be obeying the Lord and actually be fearing many things, and we will fail. And notice, Isaac's sin will surely find him out. It's a blessing, brothers and sisters, to have your sin found out. It's a blessing. I remember one of my boys saying, how come I'm always getting caught? I say, it's a blessing. Now, it takes a long time sometimes. Look at this, verse 8. And it came about when he had been there a long time. He's been putting on this ruse for a long time. That Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out through a window, and he saw Isaac was caressing his wife, Rebekah. Uh-oh. The term caressing could be translated making sport. Isaac is doing what husbands rightly in the Lord do with their wives, and Abimelech sees it. This is God's providence. Now, providence isn't a word that is in Scripture, but we see the principle in Scripture that God uses the ordinary to work his extraordinary will. The king looks out his window and Isaac is caressing his wife. That's amazing. We see this amazing reality of providence in the book of Esther. We have a king that couldn't sleep and he asked to read the records. I think he thought they would put him to sleep. And within that, he found out that Mordecai, the Jew, had actually saved his life. And from that, in the context of Esther's request exposing Haman, God's people were saved. God uses the ordinary more often than the extraordinary. We rarely see him supernaturally intervene. He is a sovereign God who uses providence. And we see this here. The providence of God. The king looks out his window, and there he is, caressing his wife. So what happens next? Verse 9, then Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, certainly she is your wife. And that's emphatic. The gig is up, Isaac. How then do you say she is my sister? And Isaac said, because I said, lest I die on account of her. Now here we don't see any repentance yet. I don't see a heart. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but I don't see it here. I don't see Isaac saying, I failed the Lord. I failed you. He's just got an excuse at this point. And notice, Abimelech, this pagan king, has more morals than many of our leaders today. And he's instituted those morals in his culture. Verse 10. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily lay with your wife and you would have brought guilt upon us. He has a sense of understanding of guilt. Obviously, he's either the same Abimelech in the situation that happened with Abraham, or he has heard, he's a different Abimelech, and he has heard from the situation that we saw earlier. Verse 11, so Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. The gig is up. Isaac's lack of trust has been manifest. His sin has found him out. And brothers and sisters, what sin in your life is God going to bring about and reveal for his good? Turn from it before it puts you in a situation in which his name is brought down. God is sovereign. He looked out the window of Abimelech right at the right time. Confess your sin before it involves others. Confess it. We need to let this passage instruct us. Instruct us. So then, we need to listen to God's word and obey it, but we also need to trust him. We need to trust him. But there's more to the life of Isaac. And this is really the core of this passage at this point. And I believe we need to learn to seek him in all we do, or we will not enjoy the blessedness of our relationship with him. We have every blessing. Isaac had every blessing, as we're going to see. But he couldn't enjoy those blessings because he wasn't right with the Lord. Verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. That's a lot. And the Lord blessed him. He's blessed. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Explanation, verse 14, for he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household so that the Philistines envied him. Uh-oh, we're seeing a little preview of what's going to happen. The Lord has blessed Isaac a hundredfold. That's a lot. This is speaking of physical blessing. And this is according to God's promise to bless him, by the way. And the Philistines envied him. God was the one who blessed him, but also God was the one who allowed this unbelieving Philistines to envy him. Now, brothers and sisters, we can be tempted to act with envy towards those in whom the Lord has blessed financially. It's not a sin to be rich. It's a sin to trust in it. It's a sin to hoard it. It's not a sin to be rich and in the right way enjoy those riches. Just for a second, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. These non-believing pagans envied Isaac's wealth. God had blessed him. And there are those that God has blessed around us, possibly. We're not to envy. We're not to envy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. That's not to think that in any way, shape, or form they have done anything to bring about those present world riches. By the way, notice how it's very distinctly described that way, rich in this present world, because regardless of how much money you have, you can be extremely rich in eternity if you trust the Lord and obey him. He says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope in the uncertainty of riches. Proverbs says it makes wings and flies away. But in God, fix your hope on God, who richly supplies us all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, to be ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. It's an eternal treasure. So the non-believer envies, and we see that in our passage. Isaac is blessed, physically speaking, of the Lord. Has someone around you been blessed with wealth? Rejoice with them, don't envy them. And leave how they handle their finances in the Lord's hands. You're not their master, the Lord is their master.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org.
Well, Greg, like I said last time regarding Abraham and Isaac, like father, like son.
Indeed, Dave, that despite Isaac's experience being raised by Abraham and Sarah and the incident where he cooperated with his dad in trusting in the living God to provide a sacrifice which spared his life, yet as an adult, he fell into the same fear traps that his father Abraham did. Today we mentioned his expedient lie that Rebekah was his sister when she really was his wife, because he feared the Philistines and that in turn led to trouble.
So Greg, what do we do when we lapse into fear and eventually sin?
First of all, we need to stop and we need to confess and we need to turn from fear and sin, turn back to trust in the living God and move forward in faithful obedience. When the Lord exposes our sin, minimize the damage to yourself and others by turning back to God immediately, accepting His forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Trust Him as you then walk in faith and not fear. Well, we're not finished with Isaac yet, but be sure to join us next time as we finish Genesis chapter 26.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.